Nearly 3 years into this unconscionable spike in Jew hatred, cultivated through decades of academic anti-Zionism, universities still don't get it. Until they respond as teachers running educational institutions, not bureaucrats running communist re-education camps, the crisis will fester. This summer, when a Cornell student refused a second job interview with, "Not interested in working for a Jew," the response to him was too political and legalistic. Exposed, he doubled down, telling the Cornell Daily Sun that he realized the interviewers were Jewish based on their first and last name, LinkedIn, and physiognomy, the last word uniting today's manosphere with yesterday's Nazis. Defending free speech while fighting bigotry and avoiding thought policing isn't easy. But a recent Chronicle of Higher Education article about the incident illustrated academics' overly politicized and disappointingly sterile approach. 30% of the op-ed bashed President Trump and his appointees, assuming that Cornell officials only investigated this as a possible bias incident to placate the administration. Cornell, the author argued, should not be investigating anyone for what they have said. Its own core values statement declares that free and open inquiry and expression, even of ideas some may consider wrong or offensive, is fundamental to the university. Warning of a slippery slope, while shifting the conversation from bigoted language to inflammatory political remarks, the author wondered if Cornell penalizes the student for declaring that he doesn't want to work for Jews, who will be next? Someone who says Israel is committing genocide, or that the university should boycott it? This clever category switch is absurd, given how universities spent years squelching speech. Academics have repeatedly, and unacceptably, bullied those with dissenting views on issues of race, gender, immigration, among other politically correct causes, while protecting blacks, women, gays, but often not Jews. In 2020, students boycotted a Cornell University law professor, William Jacobson, for calling Black Lives Matter's founders anti-American, anti-capitalist activists. His dean denounced him. Other professors have suffered macro career disruptions over supposed microaggressions. One veteran UCLA professor endured student sit-ins and was saddled with extra colleagues encroaching on his course for correcting grammar and papers. While avoiding such assaults on free speech in the future, universities must also acknowledge their record of selective outrage. In the Cornell case, apply a simple substitution test for consistency. Flip a switch. Replace black, woman, gay, lesbian, or trans in the sentence, "not interested in working for a Jew." Similarly, the student escalated on X, tweeting, "My experiences with Jews have not been pleasant." Wouldn't it be bias if he overgeneralized about others, saying, "My experiences with blacks or women or Catholics or Latinos have not been pleasant"? Universities' assault on bigotry cannot depend on the context, when context essentially means it's okay to target Jews. Hysteria and browbeating don't help. Modeling that spirit, the employer who received the bigoted response posted it without the student's name. "He's just a student, he might not know any better. It could be people in his environment, or on social media he saw something about Jewish people and he is just following the wave," the spurned boss, Gabe Einhorn, told the Cornell Sun. Others online outed the student. And this case is particularly confusing. Refusing a Jew because you're a bigot isn't discrimination. The student didn't offend a fellow Cornelian, which dilutes the assault on the community. Also, the student sought employment privately. Does it concern Cornell if the university placement office helped? But is it irrelevant if he networked independently? Does placing Cornell's name on his CV make anything he does on the job relevant to the university? Does that involvement end with graduation? Fighting bigotry requires balance, perspective, wisdom. The cancel culture craze revealed how suffocating it is to police every word, gesture, interaction, and how self-destructive it is when universities divert massive resources into creating bureaucracies monitoring students' thoughts. Moreover, it's always better to err on the side of fostering free speech than banning it. Here, then, is the misfire in the anti-bias conversation that highlights one of the modern university's greatest failures. These are educational institutions, but most universities have allowed bureaucrats, in Washington and on campus, to hijack what could be teachable moments. Technical legalistic bureaucraties keeps eclipsing the moral language and character building that should be ingrained into campus culture. Cornell's mission is to educate the next generation of global citizens. Global citizens are cultivated by thoughtful, challenging professors committed to educating, not punishing. Did any of this student's professors or fellow students, Jewish or non-Jewish, contact him, explaining why the statement embarrassed him in the university, then inspire him to be better? And did anyone within the Jewish community, formally or informally, do the same, explaining how, especially today, such matter-of-fact bigotry is so morally repulsive? Next month, most universities will welcome their new students with orientations. Most will offer anti-bias or sensitivity training reflecting today's ideological circus, with all the soul of a computer instruction manual. Just as modern professors and administrators fail to build their community through bold, out-of-the-box, I-thou moments, these training sessions will fail to begin fostering what's really needed to create diverse communities filled with critical thought and mutual respect. It's better to assign great, thought-provoking books than to list dos and don'ts. Today's bureaucratic, hyper-politicized, and cowardly professoriate forgets that, as Ralph Waldo Emerson taught, character is higher than intellect. A great soul will be strong to live, as well as strong to think. Then again, perhaps these paint-by-numbers posturing sessions are precisely the orientation students need to grab their credentials and parrot back the certitudes imposed by far too many in today's classroom. Professor Gil Troy is a distinguished scholar of North American history at McGill University and a senior research fellow at the JPPI, the Jewish People Policy Institute. He is the author of 9 books on presidential history and, more recently, To Resist the Academic Intifada, Letters to My Students on Defending the Zionist Dream, as well as 2 e-books, 250 Reasons to Thank America, with David Suisa, and The Essential Guide to the U.S.-Israel Partnership, the 250th Anniversary Edition.